In the news update for March the 13th, 2024, nightly news edition, we're going to be talking about SIM slot swapping. It's a growing problem in America as well as all around the world. So listen up for those who are outside the country. You may have been a fallen victim of this in other countries as well. And what you need to do to protect yourself, listen to what they say from the news article here taken from YouTube. I figured I would share this expert because it's good advice and it's steps you should take to safeguard your phone and to keep it from being a victim of this crime without criminals ever touching your phone. But yeah, they can steal your SIM, simply impersonating you, as we'll see here in a minute. Let's listen to what this news anchor has to say about it and what this article is about. Here we go.
Warning about an uptick in a scam that allows hackers to steal a ton of private information on your cell without ever laying hands on your actual phone. I'm 7 News consumer anchor Diane Lee, and I looked into how to protect yourself from SIM swapping.
I wish we could go back to the old days with this flip phone.
15 years. That's how long Michael Guyton and Gaffney had the same cell phone number until one day in 2019 he will never forget.
It's a normal day. I look down at my phone. No service. I was trying to figure out what in the world was going on. Calling my provider. Couldn't even call my provider.
Guyton says he wasn't late on his bill, but when he finally got a hold of his carrier, they said his number had been ported out.
I lost my number, anything tied to that number, anything with that phone number is gone.
What did you think?
I was sick, because a few days later, I had money missing.
Guyton says his Direct Express account that he uses to pay for insulin was nearly drained. It might sound strange, but not to tech experts like Phil Yanoff in Greenville, who says this spring the same thing happened to his friend, a scam called SIM swapping.
He had someone who was attacking his bank information who was so sophisticated, they went in and grabbed his phone number from him and then logged into his bank trying to do SMS verification against, but having another phone that was getting the text messages.
The term SIM swapping comes from this SIM card, which connects your phone number to your account. But the scammers don't actually need to steal it. All they need is your phone number and some private information so they can call your carrier pretending they're you. The FBI says victims lost $68 million to SIM swapping in 2021, compared to just $12 million in the three-year period between 2018 and 2020. The founder of Scamicide, Steve Wiseman, says SIM swapping used to target celebrities, and now anyone is vulnerable.
What would a scammer need in order to successfully pull this off?
Not a lot, and that's the interesting thing, because it sounds like it's very complicated, but what the scammers do is they call your carrier, they answer a simple security question. Sometimes it may be, you know, what was your mother's maiden name? And then that allows them to pose as you and get the cell phone carrier to swap the SIM card into their card.
Wiseman says you can protect yourself by setting up a PIN number with your carrier, requesting only in-person SIM card changes, and giving out a Google number to anyone other than close contacts. Take it from Guyton, those extra steps are well worth it.
They're not exactly stealing your phone, but whenever they steal your number, that's the beginning point they need to ruining your life. Once they steal your phone number, they can back their way into your account. They can get your sensitive information. And the next thing you know, you're going to be having 30 Amazon orders that you didn't make. And they ain't going to your house.
Yeah, believe it or not, Guyton says that actually happened to him after his number was taken. Fortunately, he could prove to Amazon that it was not his porch. By the way, the FBI is warning that one group of people who are especially vulnerable to this scam are people who deal in cryptocurrency because those digital wallets are highly coveted. For more on SIM swapping scams, just look for this story on my page at WSPA.com/consumer.
How to store and sort all your photos and videos in seconds. No computer knowledge required.
So there you go. I mean, that's pretty much what SIM swapping is about. And, you know, it's just so that's just what we're dealing against here today and what we're up against with today with cyber stuff, how it's getting more, some ways it's getting more sophisticated, and the attackers are finding new ways on how to steal your info, and then without necessarily not even having your phone, but they can still take your identity by SIM swapping your phone, by simply getting some information, just like the lady said, and also by just having your getting your phone number and some information, or maybe your mother's maiden name, you know, and like what they said, you know, it's good to have a PIN number or a password that only your carrier would know that you would give them. And we went over this before on other videos, but this is what on Facebook, but this is really up. It's about 68 million people that have gotten scammed between 2000 and 2024. All right, another, but so that's something to take note of, but we're going to move on to other topics. I wanted to tell you what happened at church. Well, I went to church, and I met this nice guy. The minister, he's real nice. His name is Reggie, at Old Fort Church of Christ, and I had a good time there. The people I thought were pretty nice. The church had probably about, I would say about probably half the church was elderly people, like people that are 60 and above. And then the rest of the church was composed of younger people, those were that were like 50, 45 and younger. And of course, maybe 20 or 30 of it were children. So they had probably around 200 people there when you combine both services. It's a family church. One thing I didn't see was not a large number of people that are under 45 there, but a small number. Most people there that were elderly or senior citizen status. And then another thing I didn't see is I didn't see any Spanish there at the church or black people, you know, worshiping with everybody, because everybody when I was there were all white. So I don't know what that is and what's going on there, why churches are like that, still segregated in the South. But, you know, where I'm at, it is, there's a lot of churches that do that. Some people don't want black people in the church, but don't all people need Jesus? That's the question I've always asked, because emphatically they do. But anyway, let me get to what happened the second time. The second week, he told me to call him because I don't have a way to get to church. He picked me up, no problem. He liked it. Everything I thought was cool. And next week comes. Some reason he said his phone was off on Saturday when I tried to call him to get a ride for Sunday. And then I tried to call him on Sunday morning and text him and his phone was off. Which, for a preacher, you know, you might mute your phone, but you don't turn your phone off. Because you can mute your phone so it doesn't make any noises, but the phone is still on. So you still get calls and stuff so you can call somebody. But he never called me till the next week. But he said his phone was off on Sunday and it was off on Saturday. So I sent him a text. I tried to call him several times, didn't get nothing. It just went, we're just rang and rang and rang because it was still on, but he just didn't answer the phone, or he said it was off, but if it was off, it would have just went right to voicemail without it ringing. Because the number I called was a cell number. It was his private cell number. But anyway, I don't know. But he said, well, it was too early. That's what he said. It was too early. And, you know, I was afraid it was too early that you would want to not come, because we had to work on a new song, because I also sing with the music, with the praise team. I said, well, I can go early, because if you're going, you know, you're the only one that's taking me. I don't mind going earlier, because I'm already up real early anyway. I can get up a little early and go. So then the third week, he did take me, but then he called me up and said afterwards, the next day, probably was like on Monday, he said to me, he goes, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to pick you up anymore, Michael. You're welcome to come to our church and join us on Sunday if you can find your own way, or you can just find another place to go to church. You know, but if you want to come visit and come here, you're going to have to have your own way, because I just can't do it, because I make a 25-mile trip from where I live to come to church. I mean, I'm not 25 miles away from the church. I'm like maybe 2 or 3 miles away from the church, but I guess just going 2 or 3 miles, because he's got to go to the church anyway, so if he comes to pick me up, you know, it's really not that much out of the way, but I guess to him, the 2 or 3 miles must be too much for him. But anyway, so he just decided, they just had a meeting, I guess, that last Sunday. That's why his phone was off, because he didn't want to deal with me, because he had a meeting. I guess somebody might have maybe said something, or maybe they had some view, because I heard somebody say, oh, well, if he does anything, I'm just going to shoot him. I heard somebody say that, you know, talking about me. And I'm like, why would they shoot me? I'm not going to do anything. I'm just coming there to church. You know, I don't know what they heard or something. It's like, you know, it's just like I heard him say to somebody, well, because they were saying, well, what is he doing? Where's he at? I heard people saying that. So I was like, somebody must have called them up and said something. They're all acting crazy. They're all scared and all, you know, like, I don't know what somebody said. But see, when anybody says anything to somebody, people believe it without even talking to you. They talk around you, and that's what they were doing there at that church. So it probably wasn't a good church for me to go at, because they were doing a lot of that. They never talked to me, but they were hearing all kinds of voices and listening to all these voices, you know, on social media or whatever. And they were listening to them instead of asking me about these things to verify to see if it was true, because I would tell them, I'm a minister myself. But he wouldn't, they just wouldn't talk to me. They just talked around me. I mean, he did defend me, though. He said, well, I don't think he did anything like that. I don't think he's like that. He's really, really nice. He's not like that. He's going to the bathroom. He'll be right back. And they were saying, well, where's he at, man? You know, somebody said, oh, what about the kids and all? And I'm like, somebody must have said something, because I heard him talking about that in the class. And when I was coming down the hallway, I heard a couple of people saying some stuff. So it's probably good I don't go there anymore, because, you know, the church doesn't seem like a good fit. You know, it's like they were acting one way towards me to be nice, but yet they were saying things like this and talking around me like a bunch of controlling people. So it probably wouldn't be a good fit, you know, because to me, you got to go someplace where you're loved and where you want it, not where people judge you on things of your past or judge you on what people say about you without proof or any truth to it, just a bunch of hearsay. And that's kind of what they were doing. And the same thing with the first Church of Christ was doing. Now, he did defend me, but he still went along with it, because he talked about it with some people in the church, and they decided not for me to come because of what they heard or because somebody called them up and said something, okay? Because I heard what they were saying when I was coming out of the bathroom, which I was very disturbed and a little upset, even though I didn't show it. But I heard what they were saying. It's like, who is telling them this stuff? Who do they talk to? And I'm not a paranoid guy. When I hear voices, they're always real. And I heard some people in the room before I even got in there. They didn't know I was coming until they saw me coming near the door, and then they got all quiet. And they acted like they were talking, but they were talking about me as I was going near there and saying things like this. I'm like, who called them? Who talked to them? Did someone call them? Because the way they were acting, they sure have. And the things they were saying, like I just said, you know, who said this stuff? Why are they believing all this garbage? Why don't they talk to me about it? So I can,
10 p.m.
So I can properly, you know, offend my stance on it from the lies that people spread around and say and whoremonger around, because they're like little whores with their mouths, you know. They can run their mouth and say things really they have no reason to be saying. Because see, they're, you know, they're looking at things and they don't know all the facts. So whoever's saying stuff, you know, they need to stop whoremongering, you know, because that's what whoremongers do. Doesn't mean they're a whore, they just like to gossip, and that's not really being a Christian or Christ-like either, because Jesus rebuked those people who did that. He always rebuked the Pharisees because they were doing that. And the Essenes and Sadducees because they were lying and trying to spread rumors about what the disciples were doing, you know, and saying lies on them and even on Jesus himself. And he always defended himself. It's like, that's why he would always point things out what the Pharisees were doing, but then he would ask them a question. When the Pharisees and Sadducees would ask Jesus a question, he would always posed with their answer, but also with a question at the same time. And they would get so angry because every time Jesus would always point out and call them out on it, and they didn't like it. And see, that's how we have to be. Because, you know, you cannot go to church, be a godly man or woman, and believe gossip on Facebook or calls you get on your phone from somebody, and then you don't talk to them, and then you hear people talking about it before you enter the room in the hallway when you're coming to it, and then they get all quiet, acting like they're talking about something else, even though they were talking about you. And some people are freaking out, like, where's he at? And all, he says, he's excusing the bathroom. He'll be all right. It's what the preacher said. He's not. He said, I don't think he's like that. Somebody, you can't always believe everything what people say. So somebody said something to him. That's why I believe this did happen. I really, truly do.
And, you know, you can't, like I said, a lot of people believe a lot of things on Facebook, or they believe what people say, even though they don't look into it or ask you. And that's where they did wrong. They should always ask you. They should always ask the person. They should not believe what people say. Because a lot of people lie and slander people all day long. Even people in the Church of Christ do that. You know, for whatever reason. But anyway, let me talk about this. Let's move on to another topic. But, you know, but other than that, it was okay. I don't think that church, if it continues being that way, will be there probably much longer. Because they're losing people. And, you know, there's not a lot of young people in there. And that's one of the things you see in a church. There's some, but not very many. That's usually a sign that they're not really having a lot of people come in there. Not a lot of baptism. I mean, nobody was getting baptized. And then I don't know where they're getting baptized, because I didn't see a baptistry unless it was behind the wall they had up there on the stage. So I don't know where they're baptizing people. Another thing, when I look at their bulletin, they had three deacons, but I didn't see no elders listed. I mean, the minister was an elder, but there also should be, usually, when Jesus and the disciples started a church, they had the same number of elders and deacons. And yes, the minister, Jesus, would be the chief elder, even though he was the Son of God when he was on this earth, or God. But, you know, but that's how it is with the minister. But there should be other elders, too, and deacons. But there was not. There was only three deacons, and there were no elders. I didn't see any elders in there. Because I was looking around, I didn't see any. But yeah, when he preached, he did a wonderful job. An eloquent job, and he was right on. He was right on the scripture. And, yeah, he used a lot of scripture, which is always a good thing to do. His wife played the piano. You know, his wife, Reggie's wife, played the piano really nice. You know, that's kind of like what my girlfriend, when I was going to Johnson, she played the piano just like that. Her name was Elizabeth DeBall. Maiden name was that. Now she's married, I guess. I hope she didn't die. I haven't heard anything more from her. I've been trying to find her for years, you know, because I wanted to, you know, see how she was doing and kind of talk to her. Maybe if she's not going with anybody, but she probably got married. I don't know. She might have died. I don't know, because I haven't heard anything more from her since I left Johnson, you know, since I didn't stop going there after the 2 years I was there. But other than that, you know, that's kind of what happened there. Let me touch on a thing about what somebody said tonight. I heard there's a guy named Paul Expositor. They call him Paul. I call him Mr. Potter. He's on YouTube. He's a general. He says a lot of good things, but he also preaches on a lot of things that are way out there that are not totally scriptural, you know, in certain areas. But a lot of things he does is he does a very good job, and some of his perspectives and insight is very good. But at the same time, there are things that he talks about. And I want to say something to the expositor, Potter, that now, when the devil said through the serpent, when he was, either he appeared as a serpent to the Adam, when he appeared as a serpent, or he actually possessed an animal, went into an animal and took possession of it and talked to the snake, because the snake was already talking, and it appeared upright to Eve and Adam, and it told them, you know, partake of this fruit and you will not surely die. Of course, that was a lie. But Jesus said, well, if you believe in me, he said, you will not surely die. That was not a lie, but according to Potter, because he doesn't understand that everybody, when Jesus said it, he wasn't lying. But it also says in Ephesians that everyone must face the first death, which is, you look at the Greek, that means the physical death. Now, if you face the second death, there's only one death that all Christians go through, and that's the physical death. That's when we all have to die and give up and leave this body, or the shell, this outer shell we have when we're in our human bodies. We have to give up that human shell in order to go to the place where we're really going, where heaven is, where the real new heaven and earth is, like it says in Revelation chapters 20 through 22, towards the end of the letter. And that describes where the new heaven and earth is. It's not going to be rebuilt here. But what he thinks is that Jesus was contradicting himself or lying, when really he wasn't. He was saying that when Satan said it, Satan actually lied, outright lied. When Jesus said it, he did not lie. What Jesus was saying when he said is that you will not die spiritually. But those people that don't believe, and if you take of the, and you take the portal, the fruit, the portal of the fruit, you choose that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and you partake it by choosing that, then you will surely die because of lack of knowledge and because of lack of belief or faith. Now, of course, Jesus didn't kill Eve and Adam, but he did shorten their lifespan, and he did curse everything on the earth, in the earth, and above the earth. That means outside the earth, meaning in the heavens too. Everything was cursed in space as well as here on the planet and underneath the planet. The Bible says that in Genesis, where he was angry and he cursed everything. And, you know, yes, God did allow sin to happen. Some people say he created it, but no, I wouldn't say he created it. But because there was a revolt and the devil fell along with a third of the inhabitants, the angels in heaven, God has two-thirds, while one-third was going with Satan and created, and also had a mutiny, and they all formed a mutiny against God, and they all were thrown out of heaven, okay? But what it's saying there, when you will not die, when Satan says it, it's a total lie, because you will still die. You'll die the physical death, and if you still believe what Satan said instead of what Jesus said, where he offered you eternal life after the physical death, which wasn't a lie or a contradiction, like some people might say. Now, when Jesus said it, he was really meaning it to mean that you will not spiritually die. But if you believe what Satan says, you will die physically too, but you'll also die spiritually. There's two deaths that happen. If you don't believe, you're not a baptized born again, or you've fallen away from Christianity and don't repent, then you're in the same Gehenna as people that have fallen away. Now, of course, Adam and Eve both did repent, but they still had consequences because they took that portal of that fruit. If they took that portal, which closed off all the other world portals that were in the Garden of Eden. That's why they were expelled from the Garden of Eden, I believe, because they couldn't be there anymore because the portals were closed, because they chose to partake of the fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and eternal life. And okay, so whereas when Jesus said it, yes, all Christians will die, and yet people die in horrific ways, and they are persecuted, and more people will, which is sad. But that's because we all have to die a physical death, whether we go through that type of persecution or not, because all Christians have died ever since Adam and Eve have died. They were Christians, but they died, but that's all part of the curse. And death was part of that curse when Jesus cursed all the creation, both in the earth, on the earth, and above the earth. And that includes outside the earth and the heavens that we see, in the first and second heavens. The third heaven we don't see. That's outside of our realm, our dimension, so we can't see beyond that. Even the most powerful microscopes, telescopes, I'm joking. The most powerful telescopes they have can't even see beyond the second heavens that are outside the earth, but we see the stars and all. Because it's beyond that, where it goes way beyond what we can see. However, the telescope can see, not microscope, the telescope can see very far into the universe, but it cannot see beyond it. Because God did it that way, where it's not where you can see it, because it's not in this realm. It's in a spiritual realm, like he said, he's building a spiritual kingdom. And so, yeah, we all have to die a physical death, just like those people falling away, those people who never became to Jesus, they will die that physical death too. But they will also die spiritually, because God will say, depart from me, I don't know you, you evil, wicked doer. And then they'll be in hell, so they'll die a second time. So there's two deaths that somebody, if they don't repent, or they're falling away and don't believe, they die twice, two deaths. They die the physical death and the spiritual, they die too, and they're separated from the Lord. Whereas Christians only die the physical death, but they're promised, like when Jesus said, you will surely not die if you believe and follow me. Believe and follow me. They did not die. They physically died, but their spirit never dies. So yeah, that's the difference between when Jesus says it and when the devil says it's a downright lie. But when Jesus says it, he's saying the truth, but we all must face the physical death. But in the spiritual realm, we will live for eternity with God. Because that's what eternal life is. You can't be in that unless you're a spirit. You can't, your physical body won't go there in the form that it is in right now. It will have a different type of form and texture and appearance. And that's what it means, that you'll physically die and be dead. So it's not wrong, dear Father. No, it's just, we all have to die a physical death. However, spiritually, that's where he says you'll surely never die when Jesus says it, because he's telling the truth, because our bodies are not going to be physically when we go to heaven. They're going to be spiritual, because the place where heaven is a spiritual place. So these bodies we have would serve no purpose or use because they're not made to go there. So that's why he said we all must face a physical death, like it says in Ephesians and Revelation. It says it there too, before we can go to the next plane of existence, which is spiritual. So I hope that answers some questions about when Jesus said it versus when Satan said it. When Satan said it, I'll say it a third time, was a direct contradiction of what Jesus said, and it was also a lie. When Jesus said it, it wasn't a contradiction, because we all have to, and it wasn't a lie, because we all have to face a physical death so that we can live eternally to be with Jesus if we're believers and born-again baptized Christians, versus those who have fallen away from Christianity. They will also die a spiritual death if they never repent and come back to Jesus. They lose their salvation, and they will no longer be saved if they continue to live that way. You know, it's no once saved, always saved. It doesn't work that way, because that's a lie verse from the devil himself. That's a contradiction too. Because you're saved if you live and you believe and you follow Jesus and follow his commandments. Jesus says too, out of his own mouth, and his disciples retort and echo with that same message. But if the moment we fall away from that, we don't do it, then we're no longer a child of God anymore. We're a child back under the godless world, which is Satan. So therefore, we will die two deaths if we don't repent, come back to Jesus. There's one death that a Christian will have to face. All people have to face if you're a Christian. It's only one. That's the physical death. Whereas those people who have fallen away and never repented, never came back to the Lord, and they're still living in sin and falling away, they will face two deaths. One is a physical death, like we will face, but they will also face a spiritual death, which is an eternal separation from God. And that's also in the Bible too. And that's not a misprint. That's what Jesus said and warns about. That's what John Mark says in Revelation too as well, in his writings, and also in Ephesians, that talks about these two deaths. So that's not a lie or a contradiction. Some people want to say that because they don't read the Bible or study it enough, and therefore they don't have as much insight or wisdom, so they say, well, that must be, God must be contradiction or lying there, because that's what he said, that Jesus lied when he told people they wouldn't die if they just believed and were baptized and followed him. Of course, he didn't say the baptized part, but that's what Jesus meant. You know, it's implied there when he said believe, it means ask God to forgive you of your sins, then you believe, and you get baptized. Because how can you be saved? It's only when you're baptized. You can't be saved before. I mean, the Holy Spirit can't enter in a temple that's not clean or dirty. When a temple is dirty and it's all full of cobwebs and nasty, the Spirit isn't going to want to dwell in there. That's how we all are when we're outside of Christ. Our temples are trash. You got sin and filth in them. The Holy Spirit won't dwell in that. But see, when we come to God and we get baptized and we get our sins washed away, then the Holy Spirit, then the temple is clean and the Holy Spirit is pleased, and then he dwells in that temple inside of each and every one of us, of all those who believe in Jesus and call him Lord of Lord and the Father, Heavenly Father. And those who believe call him Abba, which means God is with us. And then they get baptized, they repent, and then they get baptized, and then they're saved, and that's when salvation comes in too, and the Holy Spirit's in there. You know, all these gifts, all the Beatitudes, love is repeated twice in the beginning and also once also in the end. But you have all these nine other attributes you get, but love is repeated twice. because that's the most important thing. Because with all these other layers of the onion of the Beatitudes, which are what make up all Christians, the heart of all Christian character, which is what it should make up, that's truly what we all have when we're living in the light of Jesus and we are acting like a child and daughter, like sons and daughters of God, who are baptized, born again, Christian men and women of the faith, sisters and brothers in the Lord Jesus, in his arms, humbly and above. That's how we truly should be, you know? So don't get it twisted, don't trip up. But that's really how it is in the Bible. Okay? A lot of people say a lot of wild things and accusations out there, but the truth is always in Scripture if you really look for it. And God wants to tell you, ask him to give you godly wisdom. I always pray to give me godly wisdom every day so that I can see things that most people haven't seen or I've never heard talked about in the Church of Christ. But more and more stuff's coming out in the last days than ever before. So new things are coming out all the time, not because people are making it up. No, it's because the Holy Spirit is revealing it to them, and it's biblical. Just like it were in the days when they were coming out with these lessons in the early days. You know, if people didn't study the Bible and didn't rely on God's divine wisdom to show them the real inner truths of what Scripture's saying, you know, we wouldn't have all the teachings we have now in the Church of Christ. But it took a lot of trial, a lot of bravery, and even error before we came up with the stuff we have to teach as curriculum in the churches today. But more and more of that stuff is still happening even now. I mean, yeah, the Bible, like I said, is still being revealed. There's a lot of things in there that still are yet to be revealed even in our day to be taught, you know? And as long as that's happening until the Lord comes, the knowledge will greatly increase. If it's divine wisdom, God's going to open that seal like it says in Revelation before he comes back, which I believe is what's starting to what is actually happening right now. It's not going to happen later. It's already happening. It's been happening for like 10 or 20 years. But more and more now, since the way things are getting, God is opening it up more and more. And people are starting to have supernatural abilities more so than they did before, like seeing visions and having dreams like Revelation talks about. You know, old men dreaming and young people having visions and old men having dreams and visions. And people are bringing people to the Lord, and people are starting to change their lives because they see the testimony of your walk with Christ, and they want to be just like that. So that's one way your example can show Christ in you. You want to know how you show it? You've got to get up there and tell your experience. All you really have to do simply is just demonstrate that experience to people who are in the faith, and they can watch and be led by your example, like Paul said. You want to learn Christian living? Read the letters of Paul. He shares has a whole lot of insight and devotion to that, and how we should live and what the right things are, because he talked a whole lot about Christian living. And Paul, you know, you can read a lot of his epistles to find that out. And it's 17 that he wrote that is of the New Testament. And of course, we don't follow Paul, but we follow Jesus. Okay? Like some people say, well, I believe what Paul said, and, you know, I think we should do it this way because Paul said it. But no, we follow Christ, because all the apostles, like James and Timothy, Peter, all these people who wrote the books of the New Testament, there's 8 authors in the New Testament, okay? They all wrote these books, but they weren't supposed to be followed or for us to follow after their teachings, but all they were doing is soundboards and just echoing what Jesus already said in the Gospels. And the Bible just repeats it over and over again all through the New Testament, over and over. You know, the disciples are repeating it, but we don't follow the disciples. We follow Jesus, because Jesus said it already first, before they said it. All they're doing is just echoing it. And that's why it's repeated, because it's that important. And that's why it's all through the New Testament. And why things are repeated in the Old Testament, because that means it's important. You know, in both Testaments, things are repeated or echoed by other prophets, even though different people are writing these fine letters or books, they call them today, but they're really letters, long letters that were written where they added more to them and they made them into books now. But it's all in one big book, the Bible. And no, it's not, well, it's not perfect. Yeah, there is error, some errors in it. There are mistakes in it. But most of it is still, it's still the Word of God. And I will always believe that because that's how I know and that's how I learned it to be when I knew Jesus. He said, even though this book has some mistakes in it, because all writing, when any time over the years when the scribes translate something, or when it comes out of one language and is transliterated into another, you're going to have words that are added or even things that are taken away. And even if you have people that are, their job is to keep the word preserved as much as possible, even they make some mistakes with translation too. It's, that's why things have why there are some errors. But God's message is not an error. It's infallible. God's word, his witness through all these letters or books, 66 books in all testify his real truth, his real power, his real redeeming and healing power to heal us and to change us and to prepare us for what's coming next. It's not like you die and you go into a wooden box. I've said that before in other church videos. And some people believe that. There's nothing more after this life, but actually that's totally wrong and false way to look at it, because there's this life, there's a lot of things that happen in this life while we're alive in these physical bodies, but even in death, after death, there's still a lot of things that go on in the next life after this one. So if you're in Hades, there's going to be things going on down there. But if you're in paradise, there's going to be a lot of things going on in paradise too. And I don't believe we're going to be all around on clouds playing harps. No. I think we're going to be visiting, and we're going to be talking to people and catching up and learning off of each other. We're going to be praising God, and God's going to be still teaching us, and we're still going to be learning all kinds of things and all the questions we wanted to know that we didn't understand when we read the Bible. God's going to reveal all that information to every one of us, and we're all going to believe it all the same, and we're all going to be perfect, and we're all going to worship Jesus, and we're all going to be there to, you know, to have a wonderful, peaceful existence, but yet we'll also be worshiped and one with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's what I know is true from the bottom of my heart. And yes, we will praise Him too, but we'll be doing a lot of other things too up there in heaven. It's going to be a wonderful time beyond anything you've ever seen. This kingdom, from the way the Bible says it, doesn't even do justice to what we're going to be going into. That's why it's so important to stay on the course, like Paul says. You know, like Jesus says, stay on the course. Take the road that's less traveled, like in the book of Ephesians or letter of Ephesians. There's two roads. Take the one that's less traveled upon, because that's the road that leads to eternal life. That's the road that leads to eternity with God and with all His saints. And you'll be one of them too. You'll be one of the followers of saints. Not like the way the Catholics say it, but saints will be followers and brothers, sisters, and co-heir and co-journalers being with God and God being with us. And we'll all be one. And we'll all be together, and that energy will be for eternity. It will never end. And we'll all be glorifying God, glorifying and praising and lifting Him up and doing all kinds of things together as one big family like God wanted. And the church, we'll see the church a whole lot better, and it'll be perfect the way God really wanted to hear before sin came into the world. But we'll have the real true church in heaven. That's why it's only a foretaste or a shadow of what is yet to come. Like the Bible says, how church will really be in heaven will be a whole lot different and better. Everybody, I love you. I hope you enjoyed what I had to say. God bless you. Take precautions. Read your Bible. Pray for God to give you godly wisdom. And please be with everybody tonight. Dear Lord, thank you for this time. We're here on the radio, on XM Radio, terrestrial radio, and also on Anchor.fm and Spotify Radio. And I just hope people that are listening to us will help support us and help maybe pay into our subscription. It's not a lot of money. It's $2.99 a month, I think is what it says there. Maybe it's $1.99 or $2.99, but it's not really a lot of money when you think about it, because that's helped support our church ministry. And also, you can also listen to our videos, and we get paid that way, the ones that aren't subscription. you basically get paid that way also, through the clicks too, and watching and playing them as well. And share our videos with your friends on Facebook and on other social media too. And tell people about our channel and tell people about what we do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, bless these people. You know, for, you know, be with them, keep them safe, and help, Lord, that they'll know that you really do love them and that you really do care, and that they'll come to you and take communion weekly and know that we take it for the significance of what you did for us as a reminder, and what is going to happen when we're with you again. And the communion reminds us both the bread and the blood, or the flesh, symbolic presence in the blood of Jesus, which is what you give us to share and show every day and demonstrate in our lives. Jesus, I thank you for that in your name, I pray. Amen. Everybody, I love you, and I'll see you with another update. Take care. God bless.